Hey guys, Justin.
And Ryan.
From the Fat and Furious podcast, or FNF Media, and we are just here to tell you today about...
making sure to follow us on Instagram. We are FNF underscore media on Instagram. If you're listening to us on YouTube in the future, make sure to like, subscribe, comment to the video. And if you're on any other platform, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, or wherever you might be listening to us, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars if you have it. Like it. Interact with us in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
And let us know what we're doing.
Absolutely. And we hope you guys enjoy this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Anchor FM.
Easiest way to record a podcast, either online or on the app.
Absolutely. It is absolutely everything that you need to make a podcast all in one place when it comes to, you know, soundboard or audio editing or what have you.
Yeah, you can look at all the metrics from weekly, monthly, or lifetime viewership or listenership and see exactly where it gets uploaded to and how many people listen on either place. Also, my favorite feature is the fact that they allow you to not only record on Anchor FM, but if you have a preferred video or audio recording, you can upload directly to Anchor FM.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be honest, the best part, I think, is that it is completely free. 100%. Not a single penny is spent to produce our podcast, besides probably the electricity.
Yeah, no, it's a super intuitive way to do it. It's really, really easy to use, and there's really no reason not to. So head to your app store or the anchor.fm website and start recording today.
Welcome back
to the Fat and Furious podcast.
To the Fat and Furious podcast. Today we are coming at you with some very, very high speed vehicles.
Lots of hype.
Yeah.
Or cars.
I swear to God. Is this what we're starting this with?
Puns.
Oh, woo! My God. All right. So we are coming at you today with some hyper cars. You heard us right. We went back and we did a little bit of looking. We have not done a hypercar episode yet.
We've talked about hypercars. They've been featured on a couple lists.
They have, but in those lists, they were featured as supercars.
Or dream cars.
So our classification for hypercar, because we couldn't exactly find a straight forward, this is what makes a hypercar different from a supercar.
It was basically like, you know, the most prestigious of the already most prestigious.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, how do you quantify that?
Yeah,
like,
can you define the word, please?
But I guess it kind of touches on, like, you know, there really is no real definition of a hypercar. It's just like, it's a given, like, we produce this car, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's definitely a hypercar." Like,
yes, exactly.
We kind of talked about this while we were making the 32. It's like, you know, I don't really see an Aventador SVJ as like a hypercar, really.
Right.
I see it more of a supercar, but that's just because, you know, I kind of more.
Yeah.
No, it just looks like a regular Aventador.
Absolutely, and that's what I think. Like, whenever we were making this, we kind of had to include, quote, supercar level cars in the list because they met our qualification of supercar or of hypercar. And to further the point, our classification is can sustain speed, which is stay above 210 miles an hour for extended periods of time.
Whether that be because their top speed just blows 210 out of the water or you know, what have you.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there are some cars on the list that barely skate that line, and you will hear about them later, and we'll talk about that. But we feel that each of these cars could comfortably cruise at least 210 miles an hour.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cars that we would have considered hypercars that did not make the list.
Because
they didn't make enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
One-off cars like the Apollo IE, the Intensa Emozione or whatever.
Something like that.
Intense Emotion, the Apollo. Didn't make it because they only made 3 of them.
Yeah,
I think, and one of them is in a museum somewhere, not being driven.
We forgot something.
own
Pininfarina.
We always did the Pininfarina.
Yeah. Ferrari? No. As in Pininfarina, their own brand, because they have.
Oh, the Batista.
Yeah, the Batista.
Oh
man.
Okay. How many Batistas have they made and produced though?
That's actually a good question because I don't know all the way. Let's see.
I want to say there's only like four or five of them right now, right?
Many.
But anyways, while he's Googling that, it was kind of tough making this list because there is a bunch of cars that we both love that absolutely should have made it on the list that didn't. And
it produced five. Exactly five.
Exactly five. Okay, so yep. That was our criteria chalk point as well.
2.9 million each.
2.9 million?
Yep.
Jesus.
For each Pininfarina Batista.
Jesus Christ.
Whew.
Oh, what is the four-door Koenigsegg? We didn't put that one on.
Yeah, but that one's not... That one hasn't even been
like... Yeah, you're right.
It's been shown.
Yeah.
You can see that it at one point drove on, but no one's heard it. No one's seen it like actually like a road test yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
The ballistic...
Yeah, the 1,400 horsepower, all-electric, something.
Yeah. No, it's still a hybrid.
What am I thinking of? Aston? That's all-electric? That has 1,400 horsepower? 1600 horsepower.
No, the four door all electric is the Lucid. Because you're thinking it. So the Koenigsegg it's the two doors with the big.
Oh, the but it's gigantic got four seats. Gull wing.
Yeah, it's got 1700 horsepower. But it's like a 1.3 liter
hybrid.
Hybrid.
You're right. Yeah. That's what it is.
That thing's fucking nuts,
it is insane. Like, think about that. That is more... Okay, yes, the electric is helping out a lot, but that is more horsepower per cylinder, or per liter, mm-hmm. than anything that has ever been built. Period.
It's going to be a 1 to 100... Yeah, right. 1 to 100, like, horsepower to cylinder.
Yeah, exactly.
Per liter ratio. That's... dear God.
But no, so we really, really like our super fast cars. Hypersport also did not make it onto the list because
I'm still not convinced
we
they're
don't
real.
Know.
We've touched on it. We know
I'm
that
convinced
they're real,
that it's
like...
a real car. I am not convinced that it can do 271 miles an hour, whatever the hell it's claimed to do. I'm not convinced.
No.
Okay. Like until I see a Lycan top speed test, I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced that car does actually car.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll roll it around and, you know, roll it up onto my rotating platform so everybody can see it. Be like, dang, that thing's cool. And that's it.
It's like the scene in Fast and Furious, what was that, 7, where they see it in the top of the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and
he had it brought up here and built right here.
Yeah, it was like, it's a bull just pinned in a cage waiting to be let loose. Like, it
wasn't even a real car.
I know.
It was a mock-up.
Right? Vin Diesel just lifts the entire front end of the car up. Oh, my God.
Because it was made entirely out of balsa
wood. Yeah, exactly.
I did want to also say, like, you know, there are a lot of cars that, like, I think that's kind of the thing with hypercar. Because hypercar, mm-hmm. The hypercars are almost, like, subjective. It's like,
yes.
You know, you look at it, and because it looks just absolutely batshit crazy, like, if you, like, look at me wrong, I will kill you.
Yes.
You're like, yeah, that's a hypercar.
Yes.
And there are certain cars that's like, you know, it looks like a supercar. You just know, like, hey, this is a supercar.
And there are definitely cars like that on this list.
Yeah.
There are definitely 100% supercar cars on this list of hypercars. And we are putting that out there now because they make the, quote, hypercar classification of being able to cruise above 210 miles an hour. However... These cars, I think not a single one of those cars is going to make it to the top of the list. I don't think a single one of those supercars are going to make it to the top of our hypercar list. So there's nothing that you guys have to worry about unless your favorite hypercar gets knocked out first round by one of them, and then I would be slightly upset.
That's what you come here for.
Yeah,
hot takes.
That's exactly what you come here for because... as much as we would have loved to put the Porsche Carrera GT on this list, that is also not on this list.
Yeah.
Makes the luxury qualification, does not make the top speed qualification.
Yeah. Top that, like 203 or 206, I think. I think it was 206.
No, that one, what was that, 211? Something like that. But that's top speed of 211.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not going to cruise at 210 comfortably.
Yeah.
It's going to be struggling at 210. So, yes, it is top speed it makes the bracket, but in everything else it doesn't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean,
I think most of the discussion that we're going to have this episode has come from the 32.
Yeah, yeah, it is, but I don't just, like, want to jump into it. I mean, what we are 9 minutes into this episode, and we have run out of things to talk about hypercars?
Hypercars, I don't know. It's one of those things.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What would you say is the first hypercar? Because we read an article that said it was the Lamborghini Miura.
Like, I've heard it called the first supercar before, but, like, that was the first time I'd ever heard it being called
the first hypercar. No, absolutely not. A Lamborghini Miura. Love the car. Transversely mounted V12.
Yeah.
You heard that right. As in sideways, as in, like, a Honda Civic.
Yep.
Transversely mounted V12.
Yep.
Which is actually the, what is it, predecessor? That's the right word? Before... Right?
Yeah.
Granddaddy of something?
Yeah, predecessor, okay.
So the predecessor, that V12, is actually the predecessor of the one that is currently being produced in the Aventador SVJ. Mm-hmm. Same block, same style heads. Yep. The whole nine.
Lamborghini's always been on some hot shit.
Well, I mean, if it fucking works, and it's making, what, 780, 790 horsepower right now, the SVJ's on?
Yeah. Ooh, ballistic.
And they sound hot.
Oh. Always love a screaming V12. Yes. Always.
Okay, but first hypercar. What would you call the first hypercar? Because for me, like in recent history, I would say it's the F1, the McLaren F1. However, I mean, sure, there were cars that were faster, or not faster, but I mean, like, what was the fastest car in the world before the F1?
That's a Google.
Yeah, right. Google's our friend this episode. You would think we prepare for these things.
What? If they've been listening to us long enough, they know we don't prepare. Yeah.
They know that we tried to prepare in season 2, and then halfway through we gave up.
Fast car in the world.
Pre-McLaren F1. What is it, 1972?
No.
That's when the F1 came out?
No, hell no, what?
It was super early.
1998 was when the McLaren F1 reached the top speed, which was when it came out, I'm pretty sure.
No, it did not come out in 98. No shot. It's earlier than that.
1998 was when the McLaren F1 reached its top speed of 221. That was when it was crowned, like, this is the fastest car in the world, and it was followed by the Koenigsegg CCR. Right before that, though, was the RUF CTR2.
The CTR, that's what it is. It's
at 217. And then right before that was the Ferrari F40.
At how fast?
202.
I guess that makes sense. Okay, so the roof is just a Porsche with a body kit and tuned, right? Roof is basically like, here's a track Porsche. I'm going to sell them. like if Porsche is not going to sell me a track Porsche, I'm going to buy a bunch of Porsches and I'm going to resell them branded under, you know, new whatchamacallit.
Yep.
Tune it up a bunch and it comes with a half cage and does what, 210 mile an hour.
Yeah.
In a 911.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy for the early 80s.
Yeah. Late 80s. Essentially, yeah.
That is nuts. For somebody to just be able to go, oh my god.
Or Roof, if you're salty.
Roof.
Was 1995 was when it was crowned fast car in the world. Damn. But prior to that, it was the F40, which was the fast car in the world from 1987 to 1995. And that was at 202. So they jumped from 202 up 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, to 217. And then it did 220 and change.
221, then 241 with the Koenigsegg CCR. And then the same year was the Bugatti Veyron 16.4,
That's why I don't remember the Koenig SIG, because I remember the Bugatti getting crowned, and I was like, oh, Bugatti finally toppled the McLaren, and then that's what it's been ever since.
Yep.
Right?
Kind of. I mean...
Well, I mean, yeah, I know that in the most, like, the most recent, whatchamacallit years, I know the Venom beat out the Bugatti. What's funny is that
they
first.
Actually don't even have the Venom on this list.
Yeah, because it's, quote, a performance company.
Yeah. It's not really... Technically speaking, it is production.
It is production. They made 15 of them, I think. It's a Lotus Elite, or Elise or Exige?
I think Exige.
I mean,
it's all
very close. Very close to the chassis. The older, before the facelift, Exige. There you go. With a LS7 that has been twin-turboed. Basically, what any American would do if they got their hands on a Lotus Elise and said, no four-cylinder, no Toyota four-cylinder.
Yep.
We're going to double it and get rid of that supercharger and add two turbochargers. But I know...
I told you about the one that I saw on Facebook Marketplace, right? It was a...
Yes. Yes.
It was a ad for Edmunds.
Yep.
And they were like, 2004 Lotus Elise or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, that looks a little bit bigger than a Lotus. And why in God's name would they put a four-cylinder Lotus up for sale for $1.4 million?
Yep.
And I clicked on it, I'm like, nah, that leather embroidery says Hennessy.
Yeah, that is a Venom GT. Oh! Never, ever in my life would I ever thought I would have seen a Facebook Marketplace post for Edmunds for a Venom GT. Ever.
I just think it's funny that they have to list it as a Lotus.
They can't list
it as like, hey, this is a Hennessy. No, it's like, you'll only know if you click on it and be like,
you will only know if you know.
Yeah, you'll like, only know if curiosity gets the best of you.
If you see the body lines on the Venom GT, you will know it is a Venom GT. Yeah. But the Venom GT beat out the Veyron, right? Yep. And that was at like 271. And then the same year, Koenigsegg did it in the Agera RS and went 280...
277.9.
277.9? I thought it was like 282.
Nope.
Okay.
According to this list, at least. But then there was also the SSC 2... the SSC Ultimate Aero TT initially beat that out at 256.1.
Yep.
And then that was when... that was when Hennessy came in and beat the Ultimate Aero out.
Aero
and then the Veyron, Bugatti was like, no, this is our title. And then dropped the 16.4 Supersport that did 267.
Yep.
And then that was when Koenigsegg was like, hey, we're back.
Yeah, Koenigsegg says twin turbo V8 because you don't need four turbos in twice the cylinders.
They were like, V8 goes brr.
And what's even better is that Bugatti did it on a circle track.
Yep.
The Venom did it at JFK Airfield in Texas. Yep. Koenigsegg said, let's just shut down a road in Arizona.
Yep.
They did it on a road! Like a public road! They said, let's shut down this highway section in Arizona and blast it. And let's see how fast we can get it. And
Koenigsegg is
they did.
As a company, Koenigsegg is just, you know, the embodiment of a psychopath off their meds.
Well,
Koenigsegg's like, that you know that really, like, really stupid idea? Like, that, like, really, do it.
Yeah, but that really shows, like, think about it. Would you take a Veyron to its top speed on a public highway? I don't know. Yes, it did it on a track.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would take it that fast.
Yeah.
Koenigsegg tested it on a public highway and then did it.
Yeah.
Now, same with the Tuatara.
Yeah.
Tuatara did the same thing.
However, it was faked.
What?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Donut Media actually did a really great video on it.
Did they really?
Yeah. But this was after, so... I remember watching the video and being like, holy shit, like, this is insane.
Yeah, this Tuatara is...
I didn't think much into it.
Yeah.
But then all these car tubers started going and talking about how, you know, like, even, like, physicists even got on this and started talking about, like, the rate at which they're traveling...
Right.
because like people like, you know, internet sleuths on YouTube,
yeah,
they found the road that they did this on and figured out the exact distance from each of these, like, you know, medians and yeah, how fast they were reaching each of them, and then cross-referenced the video. And we're like, the rate at which they're traveling in the video
right,
does not add up to how fast they're actually going past these points. And then SSC was like, yeah, I guess technically we really only did like 267, 270. Like, because for a while they were like buckling down, like, no, we did this.
We did 290 and change, yeah.
We even had this, you know, authenticity company come out and verify that all their stuff was correct and all their stuff yeah, was set up. And we have a signed letter from them saying that it was, you know, totally correct. And then the company actually posted on Instagram. They're like, "Yeah, we never went out there."
Oh, you're talking about the company that does the GPS tracking,
yeah,
the box.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever watch the video, there's a gray box that sits on the windshield.
Yeah.
It's
a GPS tracker.
Yeah, it's a GPS to show exactly how fast the car is moving. Yeah. Like, to a T.
Yeah.
And that's what the Venom GT used.
Yeah.
That exact box.
And then SSC was like, yeah, "Oh, it was just calibrated wrong," and
yep,
and so it all ended up falling apart. So they did another run
mm-hmm,
on a I think it was an airstrip of some sort, but they brought out the people. They brought out two different authenticating companies,
yep,
one for the box,
yep,
and then another separate company that did their own GPS tracking as well. And they ended up doing like I think it was like 270. So still far
which
short
is
of the
still,
initial. Oh, it's still
it's
incredible.
Still fast as shit, but I mean,
was,
like, they were saying that they were doing, like,
316.
That
was what they initially said, was 316.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little off. Just a little bit. 50 fucking mile an hour. It's just a little off. Just a bit.
Yeah, so they said sustained it was at, like, 271 or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is still,
which
again,
is, which
than
is what the Venom
GT. Yeah.
It's
insane, but That's a far cry from being the fast car.
Now, you know what technicality really gets me?
What?
Is that technically the Bugatti Veyron or the Chiron Supersport 300 Plus technically does not hold the world record for fastest car.
Really?
Yes, it did indeed do 300 mile an hour plus. It did what, 305, 307?
Something like that, yeah.
Which is nuts. That is 100% authenticated by Bugatti.
Yeah.
Right? 100% authenticated. It did it around the big ass oval that they have in
the
France.
Nardo ring.
Yeah. However, it did not do it in the reverse direction. Therefore, it does not count.
What?
Yep. Yep, because it needs to do it in one direction.
And then back.
And then back.
Yep.
And because the Nardo ring is meant to drive one way.
Yep.
Only turning left or only turning right or whatever it is. You cannot drive it in reverse without shredding your tires.
Yep.
Within a lap.
Yep.
So technically, yes, they did. But no, they are not.
Yeah.
Which is such bullshit. Because
yeah,
why can't you just let them have it?
I mean, cause
that's 300 miles an hour in a production car.
And it's,
Holy shit.
Because the physics behind, like, I think it was Donut, but I don't remember who was talking about it. Like, you know, the physics and the requirement and how mm-hmm, much of a just technological achievement it is to get from even just 200 to 250 miles an hour.
Yes.
Like when Top Gear, when James May was reviewing the Veyron SS,
yes,
he was talking about, you know, putting your hand out the window, going 200 miles an hour, there's a lot of force behind that. But like putting your hand out at 250 miles an hour is like trying to run your hand through fruitcake.
Yes.
At 250 miles an hour.
Yes.
It's you know, so thick. I mean, the amount of downforce and the amount of friction in the tires, they have to build their tires. Like, there's a very specific way. That's why,
yes,
you know,
Bugatti tires are Bugatti
tires.
Are
so expensive. They're
yes,
like 15 grand a pair is because of the amount that they need to be able to stand up to when it comes to both downforce and road friction.
Exactly. So as somebody who cares about physics, I will say I do like physics. I don't like physics as much as Corey does. He went to fucking school for that shit.
Yeah.
But for that to be able to happen, the amount... For those who don't know, it's not just I need to add more horsepower to cut through the air, right? It's it's a multiplication of the friction, of air friction.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just, oh, the difference between 5 mile an hour and 10 mile an hour is a coefficient of 1, right? Yeah. We're just going to use a random number. But the difference between 5 mile an hour to 10 mile an hour is double.
Yeah.
It's not just like I'm going to add the same amount.
Right.
So 10 to 20 is double that.
Yeah.
And then 20 to 40 is double that.
Yeah.
So it's, you're multiplying it. You're not adding
yeah.
the coefficient of friction, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah. I mean,
whenever you go from 200 to 250.
Yeah.
It is absolutely nuts.
There's the amount of shit
yeah, that needs to go into
it's
that.
It's not just the tires. It's not just, like you said, it's the speed, but it's also like the downforce. You have to make sure that when you get up to 300, the amount of downforce that's being put on the car isn't just going to, like, force it straight into the ground.
Exactly.
It's bonkers.
Absolutely. But you still need enough to keep it on the ground mm-hmm. so that it doesn't take flight.
Yeah.
I.e., one of the, I will say, vehicles on this hypercar list, quote unquote, had that issue,
mm-hmm.
which is why it has the wing spoilers on yep. the front of it.
Yep.
Right? If you've ever seen it, I'm not going to give it away just yet because I think it's going to be pretty controversial. If you've ever seen it, you know, because it is iconic with this vehicle.
Yep.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yep. So, back to the initial point before we got on this weird tangent.
Oh, yeah.
What's the first hypercar?
I think it's the McLaren F1.
I would take it a step earlier and say the F40, honestly.
F40 does 202 or 204.
Right, but I think it meets the other qualifications of just being a ballistic shit missile.
Yeah, but the F40 was meant to essentially be the homologation for the F40C.
Right.
Which you can...
Their competition, yeah, Le Mans GT car.
Yeah. Which, if you're building a track car, you're not building a hypercar.
Right, but it also went on to hold, you know, the title for fastest car in the world for 7 years.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, at the same time, fastest car in the world doesn't necessarily mean hypercar.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Because...
That kind of goes hand in hand now.
Well, yeah, now, but at the same time, like... I mean, fastest production car in the world is...
car to reach above 200 miles an hour. Which is an achievement in and of itself.
So then the Chiron Supersport 300 Plus is in a new car category?
Well, but that's like a huge barrier, just like 300 is.
That's what I'm saying, though, right? Like, yeah, okay, cool. Everything before that didn't even make it up to 200. 200 was the barrier, right?
Yeah.
And then the Ferrari F40 did it, and everybody was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then
RUF went. Did 217.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then everybody was just like straight through the roof from there.
Yeah.
Now, does 200 plus classify hypercar? Because I think that if that's the case, then 300 plus would put that Chiron SS into what's faster than hyper?
Ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous car. I don't know. Jesus Christ.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, 200 plus mile an hour cars nowadays are pretty much a dime a dozen. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't say it that way, but I mean, if you look in like the supercar category, nearly every supercar does at least 200.
You can get C6s that do 200.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm saying, but like, for back then,
Vipers are doing 200.
Nissan for back then, that's a huge milestone, and without hitting that, we wouldn't have had the explosion in absolute shit missiles since. I mean, like...
Okay.
I would go as far as saying, you know, without the F40, you know, bumping through that barrier, we wouldn't have, you know, half the cars that do what they do today.
I agree. The F40 is definitely a big turning point, but I still don't... Hypercar.
Right. I mean, I would consider the McLaren to be... I mean, obviously, the McLaren is, like, you know, the first one you think of... In almost modern day, like back like
late 90s, yeah. But that's still like if you think about it, right? So you have the McLaren F1 did what
241
at its top speed,
right?
the Ferrari did 204.
Yep.
202.4. Sorry.
Yeah.
At its top, right? That's the fastest the car can go.
Right.
I would say, yes, it was a turning point. I would not say that it's a hypercar.
I mean, that's fair.
I would really like, and it's not even that I'm trying to defend the McLaren. It's just, I wouldn't even consider the roof a hypercar.
Right.
Because it's not a production. Yeah, well, although, yes, it is, it's a track-focused car that just had a shit ton of horsepower.
Right.
Like, an absolute ass ton of horsepower for what it was, right? And for the F40, it was just super light and super aerodynamic.
Right.
It didn't have a lot of horsepower. What did it have? 600? Not even 600 horsepower?
Actually, some along those lines.
Hold on, I need to look that up.
I'm curious.
Ferrari, if I could spell, 40 horsepowers. Literally typed in horsepowers. I'm gonna actually have to type in horsepower, am I?
Yeah, Google's not donified.
That's fair. Horsepower.
471.
What? 2.9 liter twin turbo V8. Put out 471 horsepower.
The top speed of 202.
Wow.
I mean, come on. It's
okay. No, that, I mean, that's really, wow.
I mean, that is a ballistic car. Like, sure, you know
what's
it was.
You know what's really nuts? Is that Ryan's car is going to make more power than this car. That blows my mind. This car literally hit 200 miles an hour. How much does it weigh?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's all fucking carbon.
2,765 pounds.
Where did you see that? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Curb weight, yeah. 2,700.
That's insane.
What?
That's absolutely insane.
So you're saying that if I had, right, not the aerodynamics of a brick.
Right.
In my Subaru. I made 500 horsepower. I would be able to go 200 mile an hour in my car. And gears. Right? Yeah. Gearing. Right?
I mean, theoretically, what? Yeah.
What? My friend. Jesus Christ. I would not want to do 200 mile an hour in a Subaru.
Fuck that.
That's just me, but, you know what? If I was on a closed highway, I'd try it once. I would try it once. I would want to see.
Is that because you could only try it once?
Well, okay. Right. Think about it, though. Right? My car weighs 29... No, 33... Yeah. No, 33 is the new chassis. So it weighs 30.05, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
So it's right at the 3,000... pound mark for an O2,
yeah.
Right? Just because of, I guess, worse transmission and less weight in random places. Because race car. And you take all of your spare tire out of it, you take all your, you know, tools and stuff out of it, you're probably dropping anywhere from 100 to 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. If you take the carpet out, you take all the matting out. Take all your stereo out, take AC out, take power steering out,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. You're probably dropping close to 200 to 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So you're in that 2,700 pound, right, to just go in a straight line. If you have 500 horsepower, I bet money it would do it.
Pretty damn close, at least.
And it would do it reliably if you had, you know, the built motor to do it. If you had a motor that was capable of 700 horsepower, you're only running 500 horsepower through it. Then, yeah, 100%, I bet it would do 200 mile an hour without an issue, without dropping a beat, which is scary.
Yeah. For a Subaru, yeah.
Yes.
Fuck that.
Damn it. Damn it. Now I have a new goal. Son of a bitch.
We want you to be here. We don't want you to...
Closed highway in Mexico.
In Mexico.
I have my Mexican street racing permit. We're fine. Okay, so what do you think? You think it's time to move on to the 32?
I think it's time to move on to the 32.
Okay. So, we have some cars that you probably have never heard of on this list.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
And some cars that were probably hanging up on your bedroom wall.
Yes. The one I'm looking at right now is definitely one of those cars. All right, so we are starting out this list of hypercars, quote unquote, because there is one vehicle that is not a car on this list, and there are multiple vehicles that are not hyper, quote unquote,
what you would traditionally think of a hypercar.
Hyper on this list. We are starting out our 32 of hypercars with the Lotus Evija? Evija?
Evija?
Evija? E-V-I-J-A.
Yeah.
Don't castrate us. We looked up pronunciation and nobody could tell us.
No.
Not a single person.
Apparently, allegedly, the last internal combustion engine that Lotus will be producing.
Indeed.
In a car.
And it makes over 1,000 horsepower.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yep.
It's
a hybrid, I think, right?
I think it's a hybrid. Yeah. I think it's a hybrid, but it's still in like a Exige Elise style chassis.
It's a little bit bigger.
What's the new one? That just it's the it just replaced the Evora.
The
Lotus Evora. It's in a Lotus Evora chassis. Or the Porsche 918 Spyder. And I guess we should classify, we are going for the wowness factor of holy shit, is that a Porsche 918?
Yeah.
Or holy shit, is that a Lotus Evija?
I gotta give it to the Porsche. I don't think Lotus has the wow factor.
I agree.
Like, sure, it's a cool car. You know, it's in Forza. It's just, it doesn't have that same, like...
That's a Porsche 918, bro.
Like, that. It's not the Holy Trinity.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. Ooh.
Ooh.
Good matchup. Really bad timing for both of these cars.
Yeah.
So we have the Lamborghini Centenario, which is their 100th anniversary.
So that was the anniversary of the founder of Lamborghini's birth. So that was the 100-year since the founder of the company was born.
Yes.
Anniversary versus
the Lamborghini Veneno,
which was the 50th anniversary of the company.
Yes. I would say Veneno.
Yeah.
I would say Veneno because they made about the same amount of each car.
Yeah.
But
I think the Centenario was a little bit less exclusive than the Veneno.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you look at a Centenario, you're like, oh damn, that's just it looks like a Huracan or an Aventador with a Huracan body kit on it.
With if you some look weird at, slats and downforce.
Yeah,
and
yeah. If you look at effects. The Veneno, you're like, holy shit, that's a Veneno.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's a Veneno.
If you ever saw one driving, you would immediately know.
Yes.
And then immediately ask, why in God's name is that driving?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, it's one of those cars, because initially when they released it, I think it was like $3.1 million is what they were selling for.
Yep.
And they only released the three hard tops.
The coupes, yeah.
Yeah, one for each color of the Italian Tricolore flag. So they released a red one, a white one, and a green one. Gray instead of the white.
Yeah, gray. It was, no, they had the white one, they had the red one, and they had the gray one. The gray, the came in the Reventon gray, was meant to represent the green, even though it wasn't, because they never came out with a green one.
Did they not? I thought they did.
I don't think so. I think the Roadsters, they had a green one. But I don't think the coupes, because, I mean, the one that you always see is gray.
The gray one.
It's the Reventon gray, the Lamborghini concept gray.
I actually want to look this up, because I don't remember. I know that it was supposed to be, you know, whatever the, you know,
the Tricolore.
The Tricolore. Yeah.
Tricolore is the little pinstriping of the Italian flag that they have on all the Lamborghinis that are the like the Super Veloce or the Super Leggera or the STO.
Let's see. So they did.
Ah, yes, my favorite color.
So they initially did the three.
I think all the coupes are in the gray, aren't they?
No.
No, because there's a coupe in white. I don't think there's a coupe in red. I think it's a Roadster, Veneno Roadster in red.
Yeah. So they're the Roadster that you always see is the red one.
Yeah.
God, what were? Fuck. damn it.
Anyways.
Well, moving on.
Yeah, on to the next.
Finally, you know, figured out.
All right. The Zenvo TSRS.
It's one with a really crazy fucking wing.
Yes, the hydraulic wing in the back.
Yeah.
Or the Gumpert Apollo, which also has a really crazy fucking wing in the back.
Yeah.
I would
know what you're gonna say.
Yeah, I think I would shit myself more over the Gumpert.
I don't know, man.
Honestly, because like yes, the Zenvo is like, you know what? These are really close.
Yeah.
These are really close to being the same car.
I really like the look of the Zenvo more, though.
The Zenvo is longer.
Yeah.
The Gumpert is wider.
Yeah.
And I think I like the wide, angry, like, I'm getting ready to just take any corner at any speed. Kind of, you know what I mean? You know
yeah.
what we should have done? We should have included top speeds of these cars. That would have been cool. We're not like going off of objective like top speed. We're just
fair.
Going like what's the coolest and you know give some more information.
It's just it looks so fucking aggressive.
Right. Okay. But you're right. Look at that and tell
oh,
me
yeah.
it's not very
oh, yeah.
close to the same car.
Yeah.
No. Jesus Christ. Hold on. That's uncanny.
Yeah. Like very close.
I like it. I love the Zenvo.
Mm-hmm.
I wish this was not the matchup that the Zenvo got.
Yeah.
But, like, if you see both, which one are you going to be like, what the hell is that?
I still think I'd be more drawn to the Zenvo, dude. It's just... It's so much... I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the Gumpert. I will admit, it is a cool car. It's very...
Right.
I'm trying to think of what it almost reminds me of.
It almost looks like a kit car.
It does, but it looks like almost like a kit car of like, I don't know, dude, because the rear end kind of almost says, God, what is the name of that car?
Yes, my favorite car. You know what? We need to be talking about this Mercedes Sprinter in the back of this picture.
I don't know. They're both really cool cars. I like the Zenvo more.
Okay, so
just personally.
So rock paper scissors for it. All
right.
Yeah,
I'm down.
All right. Okay. Best 2 out of 3 or just 1 and done?
Just 1 and done.
Okay, 1 and done. All right, ready?
Yep.
Rock paper scissors shoot. Son of a bitch. The TSRS.
Yeah. The new one
goes through. That's
I'd
the one with the
either,
crazy like, hydraulic wing.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like as soon as you crank the wheel, it's providing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the way to the left or
all
the way
to
the right.
The
it's nuts. Okay, on to the next.
If you ever drive that car in Forza, just like fuck around with like the steering.
Yes,
and
do 5 mile an hour.
Wigs out.
Yes. Yes.
It's bizarre.
All right, next up we have the Hennessy Venom GT or the Pagani Zonda R. I love me a Venom GT, but I think I would shit myself more over a Zonda R.
I would 100% shit myself over a Zonda. Because,
like, the Venom GT, you're just like, damn, that's a gnarly-ass Lotus.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a Pagani.
It's a Pagani.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you know anything about cars, you know how exclusive Pagani is.
Yes.
And how few they make, because they're all hand-built.
Yes, exactly.
Lewis Hamilton has one.
Really?
Yeah.
A Zonda R? Or just a Zonda, like, Cinque?
It's either a Zonda R or it might be a Huayra BC.
That
one or the other.
Sense.
I can't remember. But, you know, AMG V12.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Yep.
All right. On to the next. We have the Bugatti Chiron SS 300 Plus or the Koenigsegg Agera RS.
Yep.
I would go with the Agera.
I would, too.
And that's really shitty to say because, like... Once you've seen a Bugatti Chiron, you've seen them all.
I
would never get tired of looking at a Agera RS.
Yeah.
Ever.
Koenigsegg as a company kind of just embody hypercar for me.
Yes.
Like, when you think of a hypercar, you think of the just ballistic, in-your-face aggressiveness.
And that's Koenigsegg.
Of Koenigsegg, but then also you just see how, like, sleek and like just classed up they are.
Yes.
It's, It's insane. I love Mia Koenigsegg.
Absolutely.
They just got a TikTok, and I randomly stumbled across them.
Oh, really?
And the first video I ever saw was them, like, just...
Oh, drifting... Drifting the Ruggera.
Drifting the Ruggera in the snow.
Oh, my God, yes. That video was so sexy, and they literally posted, like, a little, like, a snippet underneath of it that said, yeah. Why? Question mark? Because we can.
Yeah.
What? What? That's what, 1,400 horsepower?
Yeah,
single gear, like just matted to the floor. Left, right, left,
God,
right.
I fucking love it.
Manji's down their runway in fucking Sweden.
Koenigsegg is just the epitome of because...
I love it.
Fuck them, that's why.
Yeah, right? Fucking Dave Chappelle.
Why?
Fuck them, that's
because
why.
Fuck them, that's why.
All right. Next on our list, we have the Rimac Concept 2. Or the Kawasaki H2R. Yes, that is a street bike that made it onto our hypercar list because it itself beat the, I want to say it was the McLaren F1's top speed.
Yeah.
On a street bike. On a 1 liter street bike.
I'm surprised that they were able to get it up that fast with the driver's balls being so fucking...
Yeah, right. Did you see the road they did it on?
I don't
Because
want
it was a bridge. And it was not a very long bridge, either. And they blocked off both sides of the bridge, right? It was like a bridge in Dubai. It was probably a half mile long.
Fuck that,
half,
bro.
Half a mile. Stop. Wait. Pause. Half a mile to go up to 240 plus...
And then stop.
And then stop.
Fuck that. Nope.
If you get a chance, go watch the top speed video of the H2R. It is insane. Because he's just like riding the bike. He's like... right? And then in like fourth gear, he starts to tuck. He's like, all right, we're getting a little quick, right? And it's like... when he does that, he's already doing like 150 miles an hour. He's already moving fast, right?
Yep.
And then in, like, fourth gear, he just rolls into it, and he goes from, like, shifting at, like, 5,000 RPM
yep.
to shifting all the way at its red line at, like, 14,000 RPM.
Yep.
So he's just like, right? And he just lets it eat
yep.
all the way through, and then he, like, has to brake
yep.
because of how fast everything came up, but he was already doing, like, 240 plus.
Yeah.
The bike is insanely
fast. It's even more insane when you understand that with the average human being,
mm-hmm.
you can only perceive and react to stimulus up to like 150 miles an hour.
Like
your reaction time,
153,
yeah,
I think, and
that's
that
when
is,
your brain stops perceiving things in real time.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Your electrons fire at 153 miles an hour converted
yeah.
around approximately, right?
Yeah.
So at 155 miles an hour, you are perceiving things as they have already passed you.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, look, a pylon. Bam!
Yeah.
Right? And you've already hit it.
No, you don't have time
yeah,
to
react. Yeah, you don't have time to be like, I'm heading towards this pylon. You've already hit the pylon.
Yeah. By the time your brain, like, sees... and tries to send stimuli to like, hey, put on the brakes, or hey, swerve out of the fucking way.
Yeah, no, it's
you're
too late.
In it.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
To think that you're doing, in a two-wheeled vehicle,
twice
completely
that.
Open, almost twice that. Yeah.
Twice the speed at which your, or almost twice the speed at which your brain fires electrical signals.
That's a no from me, dog.
Dude, like, that's a no from me in... the bike world,
yeah.
It is also a no for me in the car world.
Yeah.
Like, you physically cannot react fast enough
yeah.
to prevent what is happening.
That's why when, you know, you see, like, people that drive fast cars for a living, like F1 drivers,
mm-hmm.
that's why when you see them training, they're always training their reaction times. Like, they're juggling
yes.
or they're using, you know, the reaction time buttons, like, that light up
yes.
and hit it. Like, because they're trying to increase the reaction time... to where they can,
to,
you know,
in case.
Be able to get out of an accident at 210 miles an hour.
Exactly.
It's fucking nutty. But
Absolutely.
Back to, you know, the original prompt.
Yes.
Would you be like, holy shit, that's an H2R, or would you be, holy shit, that's the first ever electric hypercar, the Rimac Concept 2?
I don't like it.
I don't either, but what would
you... I would be more if they both rolled into the meet at the same time, right, I would be more inclined to walk over to the bike than I would the car.
Right.
And now knowing what the car is, right, I would be like, oh shit, that's a Rimac Concept 2.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, that's a Rimac Concept 2.
But I guess a better question would be, which would you notice first?
H2R.
But like...
H2R.
So for me, I would notice the Rimac first. And that's just because, for me, I'd have to double take before I even realize that the H2R was anything other than just another street bike that rolls up to meets. Legit, and that's just me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not huge into the bike scene.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean, like, the H2R is the only bike that looks like that.
Right.
There is no other bike on this planet that looks like that. Yamaha has just released their newest version of the R line, the R7, right? Just released. I say they released it, like, what, 2 years ago? Something like that. And the ass end looks very close to an H2R.
Right.
But it is absolutely not. The R7's front end and everything like that, it's nowhere near as fast. It's their new entry-level bike, right?
Yeah.
So the ass end looks so close to it. You're like, oh my god, the ass is so hot.
Yeah.
But the front end of that of the H2R, mm-hmm. there is no mistake.
Right, but there is I know very little about bikes. You know, I know that, hey, they're cool. That's cool. You know, I can rattle off a few names. I know what a few look like. But, like, for me, I don't know enough to the point where I'd be like, I'd take one look and be like, holy shit, that's an H2R. Whereas, you know, with cars, I'd be able to say, holy shit, that's, you know, that's a fucking Rimac.
Yeah, but, like, for me, so okay, we'll put you into the scenario where both of them are pulling into the meet at the same time.
Yep.
Right. Crowd of people. You see the front end of the Rimac through the crowd, and then you see the H2R behind it, right?
Right.
You're just like, oh, that's a quirky-looking car.
Yeah.
Interesting, right? What the fuck are the winglets on the front of that bike?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That bike got downward-facing spoilers. Yes, spoilers, not wings. Jesus Christ. But, yeah, no, for me, it's the H2R.
That's fair enough.
I don't think I could, like... quirky looking fancy long hood electric Viper or
valid.
You know what I mean? I mean, fuck Rimac, he almost killed my guy Richard Hammond. Fuck that dude.
Rest in peace, Richard Hammond. He ain't dead.
No, he's not.
But if he keeps fucking around, we don't know.
Right, exactly. it's gotta be the H2.
Alright.
It's gotta be.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, me personally, I would gravitate more towards the Rimac, because I know, as someone who doesn't know a lot about bikes, I would have to, you know, take a few looks before I realized, oh shit, that's, you know...
Right, that's an H2.
That's something very, very important.
This is the first bike to ever...
ballistic.
I wouldn't say first bike, because there's the MTT Turbine Superbike.
Yeah.
Which is the one that's powered by a fucking helicopter motor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that one is just not stable. Like, even at, like, I want to say they got it up to, like, 190, 200, something like that, and it was pulling the front tire off the ground.
Yeah, no, I...
Yeah.
Bikes scare the shit out of me, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
All right, Bugatti Devo or the Koenigsegg Regera?
I think Devo. I gotta give it the Devo, Devo.
Like, I love the Regera, but the Devo is just like, fuck, something, that is something big.
Yeah.
That's not little big, that's big. Alright, the SCC Tuatara. I'm thinking of the SCC Turbine Superbike.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Yes? Whatever.
We're moving on.
SCC Tuatara, or... the Ford GT. That is our first supercar on the list so far.
Yeah.
The Tuatara.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Tuatara.
It just looks more hypercar-y.
Yes. Even though it reminds me of? It reminds me of a Valkyrie.
Yeah, it does. A little bit,
of a Valkyrie. Now, we have the second supercar.
Yeah.
The second supercar is the Lamborghini Murcielago SV. Again, top speed 214 miles an hour. Yep. So it's gonna struggle a little bit staying that close to top speed. but it's still there.
Yeah.
Barely.
it meets the qualifications by a nut hair.
Or the Saline S7 twin turbo.
Saline. Yeah. 100%. We both love a good Mercy.
Oh, yeah. No. Mercy is probably my favorite supercar to date.
Yeah.
I love a Gallardo. I love a Huracan. But it's got to be a Gallardo Superleggera. Or it's got to be a Huracan Super Trofeo.
Yeah. The right? STO.
Yep. But.
Super Trofeo. Mercy.
Like, even just a Mercy.
Yep.
Always. Time. Yep. However, it's a Saline S7, dog.
Yep.
Like, it's a Saline S7. All right. The Koenigsegg 1-1 or the Bugatti Veyron Supersport 1-1.
Koenigsegg.
Me personally, I would spend more time looking at the Veyron Supersport just because it's all carbon and orange.
Yep.
And that's just, like, sexy.
Yeah.
But the 1-1, I completely...
1 horsepower to 1 kilogram powered weight ratio. Yes. It's disgusting.
Yes. Disgusting. Oh, why they gotta do my boys like this?
Oh, no.
McLaren Senna or McLaren P1?
The second part of the Holy Trinity.
P1.
Yeah, you think?
I gotta agree with Senna, you. The Senna is just a top mount drag wing P1.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Essentially. I mean, it's its own car.
Well, yeah.
It's a very track-focused beast, but... The P1 is so sexy. It is so sleek.
It's sleek. It's low.
Did I ever tell you?
Angry.
The only time that I've ever seen a P1, we were at Topgolf in Loudoun County.
Oh yeah.
It was also the only other time that I've ever seen a Bugatti Veyron, because the Veyron and the P1
were racing up that side road.
Yes.
Next to, dude. I saw an FF and a 488 race up there. It's that little... They take out their buddies in the cars that they have in the showroom, and they're just like, hey, you want to see what the P1 and the Veyron can do?
Yep.
Abso-fucking-lutely, I want to ride in a Veyron. Why not? Right? And then you race a P1 next to a Veyron up this little side street. Oh, my God.
When I tell you that P1 screamed...
Uh-huh. That's a, what, 4.8 liter V8?
Something like that.
Super small. I don't know, small. But
holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
I was mid-swing. I stopped what I was doing. I'm like, oh my God.
Please. More! More!
Do it again!
Right. All right. Aston Martin Valkyrie or the Koenigsegg CCXR? CCXR. Like, I love the way the Valkyrie looks, but it looks like a go-kart with two little angry eyes.
Yeah, I mean, the Valkyrie is cool. I don't know if it's my favorite design.
No.
I think the
go-kart open wheel separated monocoque.
Yeah.
It is functional for handling.
Well, it was designed with Red Bull Racing when Aston Martin was a title sponsor of Red Bull. Yes. It was Aston Martin Red Bull Racing for F1. And then Aston Martin has since become their own team, Aston Martin Cognizant. But they designed this with Red Bull Racing engineers.
Yes.
And so it's a super fucking aeroed car. It's fucking ballistic.
It's a mini Vulcan because it has half the horsepower, I think?
It's 800 horsepower.
Oh, okay. So same horsepower as the Vulcan.
It's a street legal Vulcan, basically.
Half the motor. Yeah. No, a Vulcan is based on the DB11.
Well, they market it as a street legal Vulcan because it's the same, like, you know, track focused, ballistic around the ring. But
it looks nothing.
No, it doesn't look anything like the Vulcan. It looks nothing like the Vulcan at all. But they're calling it the street legal Vulcan because it's the same ilk. It's the same, like, you know,
power focus.
We're making a power focused track design, you know, ballistic car that will shred track times.
Right.
But this time you can actually drive it on the road.
This one, go-kart. Other one, track car. Very noisy.
Yeah.
but yeah, anyway, go back. I think the CCXR. All carbon, supercharged, 5-liter.
I've loved that car since they showed it at the end of Fast 5.
The CCXR?
Yeah. Yeah, do you not remember the end of Fast 5 where... Tyrese pulls up to Ludacris' garage.
That was in a Agera.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, are you
No,
sure?
That was a CCXR, yeah, because he's like, brand new Koenigsegg.
You are absolutely right, because only they one... actually gave him one to drive.
Yeah.
That was a legitimate CCXR with the target top.
Yep.
That was a legitimate one.
He rolls
up
and goes, only one in the Western Hemisphere. And he goes, all right, yeah, no, let me go get changed. He's like, you're not going out in that, right? And he goes, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
And then he opens the garage and there's another one.
Yep.
He's like, get fucked.
Yep, I remember that.
Biggest dick move ever. Like, aha, you thought you were special.
Tyrese's was the gray.
Yep.
And Ludacris's was white.
Yep.
His was the Agera.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yep.
Okay, on to the next. We have the Conan Sig Yesco or the La Ferrari Yesco.
Yesco, yeah. That's, just like in the Top Gear special where they won't be driving the La Ferrari anywhere, we wouldn't be driving the La Ferrari either.
Yes.
I would rather have a Yesco. Oh, my God.
SCC Ultimate Arrow.
SSC again.
SSC? That's
what you said. SCC again.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you
Run
did.
It back. Run it back. SSC Ultimate Arrow. Or the AMG Project 1.
Project 1. Any day of the week, dog.
Yeah, I agree.
Just the way that that motor sounds, all the F1 technology they packed into it, it's hot.
Yep. All right.
20,000 horsepower.
Pagani Huayra BC or the Lambo Aventador SVJ. That's going to the Pagani.
Yep.
That's not even a question. The McLaren Speedtail.
What the fuck is this list, dude?
Or the McLaren F1. F1.
Yeah. F1. I'm not a huge fan
especially,
of the Speedtail.
Especially... No, I agree. Yeah. I 100% agree. Especially if it's an F1 LM.
Yeah.
With Hot. The wing and the lip.
Hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you got 20 mil?
Did you ever go watch Daily Driven Exotics video where they were
going
to tow one?
No.
Hmm? Yep. So they were sitting there and they were like... getting coffee or something like that, and there was a crowd that had gathered on the sidewalk because they knew what the fuck the car was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like,
oh yeah, yeah, I did watch this.
Oh my God. And then the police rolled up and they were like, alright, well, we're having this car towed. And then Damon's like, he's just sitting there smiling. He was like, are you serious?
Are you sure about
are
that?
You sure about that? Right. And then there was Damon was sitting there talking to the cops, and he was like, I don't think you understand. No tow company, not a single company, will come out and tow this car. Not a single one. Once you tell them what it is and what it is worth, no insurance company will have their tow company come out and tow this car.
Yeah.
Not a single company. And sure as shit, not a single tow truck pulled up.
Didn't they try to get one out there and one, like, came out and saw what it was?
Yeah. So, you're right. They came out, they pulled up behind the car, saw what it was, and then the owner came out and was like, go ahead.
Yep.
Literally told them to tow the car. He said, go ahead, but I promise you, you will not have a job tomorrow.
Yep.
Right? Because you will fuck something up on this car.
Yep.
This car will not, I swear to God, I will put it on a lift and I will find something that you scratched with that chain, and I promise you, your life will never see as much money as it is to fix that problem.
Yep.
Right? And, the tow guy literally was like, you know what, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And then turned around and told the cop, listen, I'm not towing this car. You can write him a ticket for whatever, and you are going to hand it to him.
Yep.
You are not going to put it on his car. And the guy sat there, and he got his ticket, and then I'm assuming he just paid it because it was a parking ticket. But, I mean, like, dude. Yeah, good Ooh. Luck.
Yeah.
Good, I dare you to tow my car.
Yeah.
Like, here's the keys. Do it.
Yeah.
Watch how fast this company goes under.
I will put it in neutral for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I will make it easier.
Exactly. All right, on to round two. We have the Porsche 918 or the Lamborghini Veneno.
Veneno.
That's not even a question,
no.
Unfortunately.
As much as I would love to put up more of a fight for that Porsche.
Ooh.
Zonda.
The Zenvo TSRS or the Pagani Zonda R. Definitely the Zonda R.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I just thought about? I think the Zonda R is cheating.
Why?
Zonda R is not street legal.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. The R is not. It's track only. Because remember Top Gear's episode on it? He was like, you're going to have to purchase, you know, land, and then you're going to have to purchase a track. And then after you purchase the track, you're only going to be able to drive it on certain days because of the noise ordinance that this car makes.
Yep. Zonda's competition lies with the track-based cars, such as the Ferrari FXX
mm-hmm.
and the Maserati MC12 Corsa, rather than the original Zonda's road competitors, as it is not street legal.
Ah.
So do we want to change it for the other Zonda? Because we basically just went with, like, you know, Zonda, what is the most ballistic...
Okay, so the, what is it? The Chinque Roadster? Chinque? Yeah, the Zonda Chinque. Does that thing hit over... Yeah, that thing hits, like, 217, doesn't it?
I think so. Let me see.
C-I-N-Q-U-E.
Yeah.
Cinque?
Cinque. Chinque Roadster top speed. Yeah, 217. You're
217.
Right.
Okay.
God damn, you've been on it today.
Dude, I have no idea what it is. I'm just like, yeah, I think a Viper hits like 205. It was like, yep, 206.
Buy Price is Right rules. You are correct. Yeah.
Okay, so does that change your Chinque Roadster to Venom GT vote?
No.
No? I agree.
Definitely.
I agree. Okay, so Chinque votes Roadster to Zenbo TSRS vote?
No.
No, absolutely not. No. Okay. All right, good to know.
Azonda is Azonda is Azonda, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Hot. All right, the Agera RS or the H2R Agera RS.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Bugatti Devo or the SSC Tuatara Devo?
Devo.
Yes.
Why are we agreeing so much?
The
Stop it.
Saline S7 or the Koenigsegg 1-1 S7.
Ah, here we go. 1-1.
S7.
No, nah, dog.
S7.
Nah.
How many 1-1s were built? 5 or 6? I know they're all handcrafted.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'll Google up my saline. Production numbers. I want to say there's like 100 of them, something like that. 1,500 total.
Seven.
You needed 600 to pass. You got 6.
Just look at it, though.
I agree, but
it's so hot.
I agree, but like... Oh no, this is not what I want. Stop showing me. No, you're gonna make me want to buy one. No, not shopping. Are you kidding? No. Images.
Let me just go buy a Saline S7 on Google.
Did you know that they are still making these cars?
Are they really?
The first gen Saline S7 stopped production in 2013. And then the second gen Saline S7 started production in 2015.
Huh.
And is currently being produced.
So, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to take the Koenigsegg off the list anyway.
Because it's not street legal, is it?
No, it's street legal, but it's not a hypercar. As per Koenigsegg's website, it's the world's first mega car.
Oh! So then we got to put the Chiron
on the mega car.
Yeah, in the mega car. Mega car.
Mega car.
That's what we were wondering. Okay.
Oh. Do you know why they call it a mega car?
Why?
Because it produces 1 megawatt of power.
Okay, so anything with over, what is it, 1,400 horsepower?
Yes.
Anything with over 1,400 horsepower
It doesn't even give it horsepower, just because it's in kilowatts, is what they're doing the horsepower in, because, you know, metric.
Okay, so anything over 1,400 horsepower is a mega car? I don't know. It'll stay on the list for now.
It's a hypercar.
It's on the list.
It's a hypercar. Yes. This is just, you know, Koenigsegg being their silly Swedish ways.
Yes.
No, I'm going with the Koenigsegg, man. I love me Celine, but...
Dude, like, honestly, that shape is
sexy. Click on the silver and black one.
This one?
Nope. This up one? To the left, yeah. It looks like a Koenigsegg 1-1.
No, you know what it looks like?
Hold on.
Carrera GT.
No, let me pull up the exact, because they just had... Tell me those don't look the exact same.
It's the Gumpert Apollo versus TSRS.
Yeah.
Wider, longer. It is very, very close. And I know that there's a lot of Koenigsegg enthusiasts that are like, what?
Black and silver, but, the hood scoop.
Yeah.
I mean, the roof scoop, the wing.
Identical
long-lost twins.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously not in the ass.
Yeah.
Not anywhere close in the ass. One sister got the titties and the other one got the ass.
We'll let you decide both, which one is which.
Both are twin turbo V8s.
Mm-hmm.
Conan 6 is a 5-liter. The Celine is a LS7, I think.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even close in the ass. I'm not going to lie. I really don't like the Celine's taillights. But other than that, the ass end is where it's at.
Ass end just looks... It looks a lot like the McLaren F1 ass end.
So, I agree, but, like, think about it. Like, that is uncanny how close that looks to a McLaren F1. But think about it like this. You buy a Koenigsegg 1.1. What's to stop people from being like, sick of Gera RS, dude? Shut the fuck up.
You know what I mean? That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
As soon as they say the A, sick of Gera, no, bap,
swat. Or, what other car looks like that? What other car looks like that?
The Koenigsegg 1.1. No,
stop. Is that a Celine, dude? No. There's not a single car on this planet that looks like a Celine S7.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So, like, you're rolling... They're both rolling into a meet. You see a Koenigsegg, and you're like, oh, fuck, that's a Koenigsegg.
Yeah.
You don't know it's a 1.1.
Right.
Or an Agera, or an Agera RS.
Yep.
Or
a CCXR, for that matter.
I mean, you know it's not a CCXR.
They all look very similar.
They are all, like, from the CC8... to the CC8 GT, yeah. To the CC, to the CCX, to the CCXR,
yeah, they're very...
to the Agera RS, yeah. To yeah, all
the
of
only
them.
One that doesn't look anything like the others is the Yesco.
And the Regera.
Yeah.
The Regera looks more Yesco-ish than all the rest of them.
Yeah.
Whereas if you see a Saline S7 rolling into the lot, you know that's a Saline S7, and that is my... That's honestly the only argument I have. Yes, holy fuck, that's a Koenigsegg. What Koenigsegg?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that Koenigsegg shape. Which one is it? Look at the wing. That's the only telltale, right?
Right, but I think that's also where the argument lies in favor of the 1.1, is that the fact that everyone would be like, holy shit, that's a Celine S7. But then as soon as a Koenigsegg rolls in, it's holy shit, that's a Koenigsegg. Whether you know what it is or not, it's still holy fucking shit, that's a Koenigsegg.
I don't know, but I mean, so, okay, think about it. How many people have seen Bruce Almighty?
A lot.
Right. People know what this car is.
Mm-hmm.
People know what this car is.
They know what that car is.
Nobody knows what the car is, but they know what the car is, right? Like, I didn't know that he drove an S7 in the movie. I was just like, damn, that's a nice-ass car.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched it, and I was like, holy shit, that's a Celine S7.
Right.
Right? So, like, I don't know. I cannot give it to the Koenigsegg because all of Christian von Koenigsegg's designs are flat, 5-liter, twin-turbo, or supercharged,
mm-hmm.
V8. Go really fast, kill people. The Stig can't drive one. They're giving us a CC8.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
It's just one of those things for me. It's I will give it to the Koenigsegg, gladly. I mean, I will give it to the Celine, gladly. Mm. I mean, it's a ballistic car. It's hot. It's a great car. But it's just, you know, in terms of, you know, which one would draw more attention and which is the better hypercar... Everyone's going to know it's a Koenigsegg.
Better overall, everybody knows it is a Koenigsegg. However...
They just don't know which one
it is. They don't know which Koenigsegg it is. That, I think, is the detriment, right?
That's fair.
Like, yes, holy shit, it's a Koenigsegg. Is it an Agera? Is it a CC8? Is it a CCXR? Is it... what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter which one it is, it's a Koenigsegg.
Yeah.
That alone will draw a little bit more attention than I think the S7 will.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people know that is an S7.
Right.
They can't put it together as to where they've seen it from until they watch Bruce Almighty again.
Right.
So where does it go? Who do we give it to? Because both cars are extremely noticeable.
I'll give it to the S7, honestly. Yeah. I mean, we have so many Koenigseggs on the list already.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, I'll give it to the S7.
I'm okay with that. Okay, the S7. McLaren P1 or the CCXR. CCXR.
You think?
Yeah. That is one of the most visceral machines that has ever been produced. Ever.
That's the CCXR. Valid. That's
There's
valid.
Literally, it's a 2005 Ford GT with a supercharger on it.
Mm-hmm.
No driver aid. No, yeah. You know, it is a carbon fiber shell with a 5-liter supercharged V8 sitting on top of the rear wheels that makes a metric shit ton of horsepower,
yep.
And you cannot hear anything over the supercharger whine because the supercharger is literally right next to your ears.
Yeah.
It's...
No, that's valid.
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, P1... Which McLaren is that? Is that a 675 LT?
You know it's a P1.
I'm just saying, like, it's... McLaren is McLaren.
Yeah.
Koenigsegg is Koenigsegg.
Yeah.
Do you walk towards the McLaren or do you walk towards Koenigsegg?
You walk towards the Koenigsegg.
Exactly. Koenigsegg Jesko or the AMG Project 1? I wish this was harder than it is.
Where are you going?
Project 1.
I hate that I agree with you.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, fuck me, that's a Jesko. Like, and there's no mistaking a Jesko.
But
a
as Jesko's soon as that motor starts up on that Project 1,
you're like, oh.
How did you get an F1 car? Oh,
wait a minute, right?
Not only does it sound good, but it's sexy.
Who came in my pants?
Who the fuck just came in my pants?
God damn it. All right, McLaren F1 or Huayra BC. Now. McLaren F1 LM, it's a harder fight.
Yeah.
It's much harder. McLaren F1, go to the Huayra BC.
Yeah.
McLaren F1 LM, I'm not so sure, bro. Like, if it's an LM, oof.
Yeah, but we didn't differentiate, so it's just an F1.
Neither yet. We've made so many alterations.
The only alteration we made though is because we had to.
Yeah, that's fair.
I gotta get
okay.
To
okay. What is the LM production list? How many LMs are there?
I doubt there's like any.
Three?
Maybe. If we had John Weber here,
he would tell us each chassis number. But
I think I gotta give it to the Huayra, dude.
The Huayra BC, they only made two of, though, didn't they?
No, they
because they made the carbon OD green, and then they made the carbon black. Huayra BCs. At least those were, and they gave one of them to Lewis Hamilton. It was the OD green carbon one.
20 Huayra BCs.
20, okay. All right.
Have been sold. But I'm fairly certain that's also because they've only been able to make 20 so far.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, McLaren F1 LM
production number.
Dion numbers.
106.
So there's 5 protos, 64 road versions. Regular F1s, 1 tuned prototype, the XPL 1 LM, the 5 tuned LMs,
yeah.
The 1 long tail XPGT, 2 long tail regulars, the GT, and 28 race cars.
The GTR.
So there's enough to put an LM.
We've already locked the list. we only.
No, we didn't. Look at how sexy it looks.
I know it is.
Dad.
I know.
Oh my god.
In the papaya, it's gorgeous.
Want so bad. The wing is the perfect size.
Yeah, no,
and
it
the
is.
Carbon front lip.
I mean, everything about the car is proportionately perfect. It's hot. 100%.
So F1 LM. Or
but we're just talking regular F1 here.
The Pagani Huayra BC. You know what? I'm hot take.
Yeah.
I think the Cinque or Cinque. Whatever, Cinque, yeah. Whatever, however you pronounce it, the Zonda series of Pagani is better looking than the Huayra.
I would agree with you, actually.
Honestly, if this was against the Zonda, mm-hmm. it would be different.
Yeah.
But I still think I give it to the McLaren
you
F1.
You think?
I really do, because, like, yes, the Pagani is hot. Mm-hmm. So hot. But an F1 is automotive history.
No, I get that. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I totally do.
Like, even if it was just a base F1, you're going to put wheels on it. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
You might get some flack for it.
Yeah.
But
With this argument, I think you're right, honestly.
Like, I would give it to the F1. I love both cars, and it would be very difficult to turn away from a BC.
Just the fact that if they both rolled up, you automatically know who has the bigger wallet.
Yes, and it's the guy with the F1.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. So F1?
Yeah, I'll give it to the F1.
All right.
Yep.
Sorry, BC. That was an honorable fight.
Yeah.
All right. The Lamborghini Veneno or the Pagani Cinque Roadster Coupe thingy ding R. Oh no.
I like the look of the Zonda more.
I agree. But is it enough to be like, oh shit, that's a Zonda over a Veneno? No.
It's not.
Kills me.
I don't know. Because the thing with the Veneno is it looks ballistic. It looks insane.
It looks
menacing. But at the end of the day, it's still just an Aventador.
No, Dad.
I mean,
the Centenario is just an Aventador. The Veneno is not. The Veneno is the Sesto Elemento of the Aventador. Yeah. The Veneno is the, oh my God.
Are you sure?
Lamborghini.
Right there, third one down.
Veneno. You're going to tell me that's just an Aventador?
Well, I mean,
no.
Obviously, it has a crazy amount of, you know, body line alterations. Yeah. Everything about it is...
Right, but I mean,
but at the end of the day, it's still, you know...
It's not just an Aventador, though. Like, you have to look at... If you looked at a Centenario, is just an Aventador with a body kit on it.
Right. This is a different body. If you look at the
Veneno, it's completely different. It's got the completely exposed rear duct wheel, you know, arch and everything. And
that's not what I'm saying. I mean, from the looks, 100%. You like, holy shit, that's a Veneno. But this is... All right, so my kind of weird argument about this.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look up what the name of this car was.
Yeah, but I knew what the name of the car was. I just didn't know what car you were talking about.
Well, no, I completely forgotten what its name was. Like, I remember, like, yeah, no, Lamborghini did a crazy, like I could remember what it looked like. You know, I knew that it was, you know, super exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But I, for the life of me, couldn't remember what it was called.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But at the same time, how many people do you think remember what the Cinque's is? The Cinque name is.
Like, I remember a lot more.
A lot of people know the Zonda name.
Yeah.
Right? But could you tell me the difference between the Zonda R, and the Zonda Cinque? No.
No, and that's valid. That's valid. But I don't know. I just...
Yes, the Power Wheel. There you go. The Veneno Power Wheels. That's what we need.
I just love the Zonda, man. Like,
I agree.
I had a poster of one up on my wall when I was a kid.
I 100% agree that is a sexy car.
Yeah.
I literally probably one of my favorite designed cars of all
time. And also the fact that, you know, this whole car company was just a big middle finger to Lamborghini.
Yes. Just as Lamborghini was a middle finger to Ferrari.
Yeah. That's a story that I never understood. Like, Lamborghini, like, you know, the I can't remember Mr. Lamborghini's name, but he went to... Ferrari was like, hey, I would like to make cars for you guys. And Ferrari was like, no, we won't do that.
Well,
so he was I'll make my own car company.
He wanted to buy a Ferrari.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to buy a Ferrari. And Ferrari
he wanted to buy a 250 GTO.
Yeah, we don't sell you, sorry.
And yeah, we don't sell to people like you.
Yeah.
Because you're a farmer, you don't have the money to purchase the car, or you won't take care of it, or whatever. So he went and started Lamborghini. He was like, all right, well, I'm going to make it a better Italian supercar than you've ever made.
And then and did. It was Pagani was designed or was created because Horatio Pagani was basically like, hey, you know, I'm working for you. This is amazing. I would like to sign my name on the car, too, because everyone was signing their name on, I can't remember which car it was, but they just created the newest generation of a Lamborghini, and they were like, everyone was signing off on the prototype, and Mr. Lamborghini was like, yeah, no, an Argentinian name will never be
an Italian sports car.
So Horatio Pagani was like, all right, fuck you.
Yep, okay, bye. And then went and created Pagani. Yeah, dude, but, like, you're right. I can't argue it. I can't. The Zonda looks too damn good. Alright, Conan Sicagera RS or Bugatti Devo? Devo.
Devo. Yeah.
Devo, for sure. Conan Sig CCXR or Salinas 7? Now, is this the same argument, or is it an easier argument than the 1-1? I personally like the CCXR better than the 1-1. It's more of a visceral drive. Yes, okay, the CCX or the 1-1 has more horsepower.
Yeah.
It's got the crazy active aero in the wing, but the CCXR is just, like, it's visceral.
Yeah.
Right? It's very similar, but it's just metal as fuck, supercharged 5-liter. I don't give a fuck if you die.
Yeah.
Here is your car that you paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Koenigsegg, Insanity the company.
Yes. Plus I like the wing, the crazy like bow, the bow up on the tail and the wing. And those headlights, that the three port headlights on either side of the car.
It's hot. It's just hot.
It's super, super, super mean looking all the way around. Now, given from the front, you cannot tell the difference between a CC, a CC8, or a CCXR.
Right.
Right, or CCX or whatever, right? However, from the back, you know.
Yeah. Automatically.
You know. Oh my god, I love that car. I've never seen it in orange and carbon before. That's really
cool. No, that's hot, dude.
These are the only ones that I've ever seen. It's all carbon, right?
But the orange, dude.
Carbon. But that orange and carbon looks so good.
It's like
good.
The McLaren Papaya orange.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so vibrant in your face in the carbon.
And everything that is black on the car is carbon fiber. I said black in air quotes. Plus, the R is just green.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, you're driving a CCX. R for green. Green.
Green.
Right? It doesn't matter what color you get it in because it's always carbon fiber.
I love it.
Oh, dude. Okay, but that or the saline?
I
want to give it to the Koenigsegg too, but it's the same argument as the 1-1.
It's
the exact same argument.
But if you don't take it down to it, like, so which would be a better hypercar? Like, which do you think is a better hypercar?
A better hypercar?
Yeah.
A better dailyable hypercar? Or just a better hypercar in general? Because, I mean, hypercars are meant to do one thing, and that's go fast. In a straight line. It's go as fast as possible in a straight line, and both of those do it very well. Both of them are V8s. One of them's an LS7 that's been twin-turboed. One of them's a 5-liter that's been, billet in-house.
Yeah.
With a supercharger on it. The question is which one would you... If you would rather see it at a meet... It would probably be the Koenigsegg.
Yeah.
If you were to drive it, does that change your answer?
No, I'd still rather drive the Koenigsegg, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
That's just me. I love the Koenigsegg.
Fair. That's fair. I mean, we pushed it past the 1-1. I'm okay with giving it to the CCXR instead.
Yeah. Ooh.
AMG Project 1 or the McLaren F1 LM? LM. Dead. It's the deep pockets. It's the I don't give a fuck. I am driving $20 million around.
I know. I just love the Project One, dude.
Look at how big my dick is. And how little I give a fuck about the all-carbon undertray of this F1 LM. The AMG Project One is super, super sexy. Yeah. It sounds amazing, but it's just modern hypercar. You know what I mean? Like, it's on that Aventador 918 Spider level.
I don't know if I'd leave it on level.
Okay, on Aventador level, but definitely on 918 Spider McLaren P1 level.
I would say it's maybe a step higher than that.
So you would put it on, like, Chiron level, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'd put it on Chiron level.
That's fair, but Chiron level is still ain't shit compared to F1 LM level.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, I love the car, but this F1 is just like, Jesus Christ, why is there 2 footsteps and a giant-ass lion walking through the sand? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
like,
valid. That's valid. Yeah, I'll yield. I'll give you the third one.
All right. Semi-finals, we are looking at the Pagani Cinque Roadster / Coupe or the Bugatti Devo Zonda.
Zonda, 100%.
Zonda. It's going to be a Zonda versus
F1.
Oh, but it's the CCXR.
Ooh.
F1.
You think?
F1. I don't want to do that to the CCXR, but it's literally the McLaren F1 did it that dirty. It was just like...
Yep.
Like, sorry, pal. I don't think you know who you're... Like, both of them come in papaya orange and carbon.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to look at more? The F1.
You're right.
All right. Final match. The Pagani Zonda Cinque or the McLaren F1? You know the answer.
I know, but I don't...
I don't want it to be either. But I'm okay with it. I don't want it to be either. I do not want
the McLaren F1
to just mollywop everything.
It's because you changed it to the LM.
Yeah, I know.
The only reason that it mollywopped everyone is because of those 2 little letters at the end of the name.
You're absolutely right. And if it wasn't for that, it would have gone out first round.
Well, second round, because it made it past the first.
What did it go against? The McLaren Speedtail. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I would much rather a base-ass F1 than the McLaren Speedtail.
Yeah.
But...
It would have gone out against the Pagani Huayra. If it was just the F1. Yeah. I mean, if it was just a regular F1, it would have gone out against the Pagani Huayra.
And then
I think the Project 1 would have won against the Huayra.
But would the Project 1... Against the Huayra?
Against the Huayra, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Okay, but then would the Project 1 have won against the Zonda? No. Yeah, so...
So it would have either been the Zonda or it would have been the LM.
Which is literally what we were...
No, I'm saying it would have been the Zonda or it would have been the CCXR or the Project 1.
No. It definitely would have been the CCXR over the Project 1. So it would have been either the CCXR or the Zonda. And that would have been a much harder debate for me.
Yeah.
Because I really like CCXRs.
I do too. But I think I still would have given it to the Zonda.
The Zonda. I agree. I agree with that, honestly.
So my winner is the Zonda, but... That's just...
So, okay, if we go back and we say it is a base-ass F1, the Zonda wins. But if we keep it at the F1 LM, the F1 LM wins.
Yeah.
You know what's sad? Is either... The F1 loses to everything else on this list, or the F1 LM mollywops everything. Yeah. Like, you could have put it against any other car, and it would have won.
Yeah.
It would have ended up in the exact same position as the F1 LM.
Right.
But no, as the F1, the only reason it would have moved forward is if it got matched up with what it did.
Yeah.
Because we just don't like the Speedtail that much.
Right.
So... What do we like? What's the verdict here? Do we leave it at the F1 and be the most powerful thing and literally dick whip everything in this list, or do we say that no, it wouldn't have because it's a stock F1 and
the I don't know. I mean, I feel a little weird about the fact that we did change it to VLM midway through.
Yeah, but and we because also of that, we also
watched really fucking everything.
But we also changed the Zonda from the
But that
the
was only R because we had to because of an oversight. But yeah, it still won whether it was a Chinkwe or an R.
Would the R have won against the
D? Well, the R is better than the Chinkwe.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, the fact that it
so
was
we
the
give
Zonda,
it so we give it to the Zonda.
I think to we be have fair. To. I think we have to.
Which sucks. But
because everything we said about the F1 LM is correct, but
it literally would have won. It literally, I mean, any way that we would that we sliced it, if it was a McLaren or like the
say
AMG Project 1 would have moved forward, then it was AMG Project 1 versus Huayra BC, we would have chosen the Project AMG, and then the Project 1 would have gone against the CCXR. I would have given it to the CCXR.
I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. I still would rather go with the Zonda at that point.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, like, right here.
CCXR yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
AMG, like, and it doesn't matter what moves forward, the Zonda wins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. All right, congratulations. It's, we even after adding the most powerful thing that we probably could have added halfway through.
Yeah, we basically just retconned that.
The
Deus Ex Machina, the
Pagani Zonda Chinkwe Roadster.
Yeah, or just Chinkwe.
I like the coupe.
Yeah, I do.
I like the hard top better.
Well, I guess technically the Roadster was a Targa, so you could remove the carbon.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the roof, it was the rear glass as well.
Right.
It was literally just a windshield and then that scoop.
Yeah.
And then everything else was flat. But yeah, I think that I'm okay with the Zonda.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm okay with that.
Out of the hypercars on this list, that was blatantly Irish. What the fuck?
Out of the hypercars on the list.
Who cares? No, out of the hypercars on this list, It's the Zonda, dog.
Yeah.
It really is.
I would have wanted the Kawasaki H2R to win.
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, they're all some of the most just blatantly fuck-you-in-the-face cars
yes.
ever created.
Yes.
But, like, the Zonda, it just...
I agree.
It's hand-built. It's just the essence of this is built for one thing.
Gotta go fast.
I mean, obviously, you know, being luxury, it's a hand-built car, so
right.
hand-stitched leather, all that, you design it yourself, but just from the experience of building one to being able to drive it, it is one thing, and it is hypercar.
Absolutely.
So.
All right, well, there you have it, the Pagani Zonda Chinkwe Coupe or Roadster, whatever suits your fancy, is the best hypercar / best looking hypercar / best to gawk at / drool at / yada yada. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I'm actually happy with the way this turned out, like, honestly. I
it's not like last week.
Yeah, where we're just like, all right, yeah, fuck you, bye. No, I'm good with this list. Yeah. I'm actually good with this list, good honestly. With this list. Now, one question before we close: would this have changed if Corey was here?
I mean, he would have put up more of a fight for every single Koenigsegg on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think he would have put up more of a fight for the Jesko and the 1-1. Yeah. I don't think he really likes the CC8 CCXR style, even though they're. Really the same
I think
car.
He put up more of a fight for the CCXR as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if we look at, you know, swing votes, like if we look at the 1-1, mm-hmm. which is
down a little bit farther, it was against the 1-1 or the 2. Yeah, no, that I mean, then you would have had 1-1 versus CCXR.
Yeah.
And then I would have still voted the CCXR.
Yeah, I still would have too. Yeah, I mean, it really wouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean,
because even with the swing vote, it wouldn't have changed where we ended up.
I agree.
Because we at the end both voted for Zonda.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's fair. But I mean, do you think that the Avisia would have?
No.
Yeah. What about the Centenario?
No.
Yeah, Veneno would have stayed.
Yeah, having Corey here, it wouldn't have changed it. I think at the end of the day, it's still Pagani.
Yeah, because even if the Zenvo TSRS got beat out by the Gumpert, which I wanted, it would have lost to the Zonda.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's still Zonda still would have beaten the Veneno, Zonda still would have beaten the Devo, and then eventually made it to the top. So
yeah,
100%. All right, well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We hope you guys enjoy this one. We realized a little late that that we didn't do a Hypercars episode. That was kind of, you know, one thing.
It's a weird thing for us to not do.
Right, exactly. Like, I want to say we tried to do it in season one, and we didn't end up doing it.
But, yeah, we did something else.
We're here now.
Yep.
So, better late than never. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and we will catch you guys in the next one.